The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
We're still on our series of discovering spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is all about bringing solutions from the spirit realm. Because you are a spirit, most time people bring solutions from their intellect, and people have been talking about emotional quotient, but there's a level that people do not know, and people that are in the other side actually tap into it, but from the back door. But there's a backlash as it relates to that. But we have access. We are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That means that positionally, we are our normal realm is the supernatural. Our normal realm, whether you are eating or drinking, is the supernatural. Everything about you should be. You know, God has no natural, no supernatural. To him, everything is natural. And that's that realm we are supposed to be bringing solutions from. And we need to understand that even whatsoever is happening on the face of the earth is created twice. One, there is a creation that is abstract, nobody knows, because somebody must draw down the thing, somebody must perceive it first, and there's that creation, and there is now the making of the thing. There are many of us here, you have not been operating in that level of your spiritual intelligence. And we need to get to that level where we start operating it. Not only operating it, we need to get to a place where we need to be, to make it our natural habitat. To make it our natural habitat. That nobody will bring us and say, face reality. How many of you that have told you face reality? Anybody that tells you face reality is telling you, face life the way I face it. Look at it the way I look at it. And I cannot look at it from your own perspective. If you are in a three-story building and I'm on the down floor, you are in the third floor, we don't see the same thing. But we are in the same building. But we will never see the same thing. That's why my spiritual father told me one time, he said, people go to the mountain. I go to 44th floor. That's mountain. You are closer to God. That's the original mountain. And we need to get to that where the spirit realm becomes my natural habitat, whether I'm eating. And we need to start practicing it. Maybe some of you start asking God, what will I wear today? Some of you say, don't you have your brain? How many of you know that you did you actually rain very well this morning? You may not know. Then you now wear some shoe. And you think that God is not intelligent. Something told you, don't pass this water. It says very shallow. Before you enter, your car is like this. Spiritual intelligence. You must understand. Don't eat this food. It says it's sweetening me in my mouth. Like I told people, I said, every sweetness ends here. Every sweetness. Stomach does not understand whether it's sweet or bitter. You understand protein, carbohydrate. It doesn't understand all those languages. Ah, it's tweeting me. No, here. It ends here. Even your tongue, finish. Every other thing. Okay. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, it said, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning. It must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, it said, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. For with such sacrifices, our Heavenly Father is well pleased. Is well pleased that we need to put burnable materials on the altar for the fire not to go off. People have used it in terms of prayer. every time you put burnable material, it will burn. As long as there's no burnable material, the fire will go down. As long as there's burnable material that you put, and the fire will keep on burning. It's my duty to bring burnable material. It is God's duty to light the fire. Like I always tell people, in the tabernacle, and we see it clearly, outside the light there is natural light. Although there's fire on the altar, it's natural light. There's light. Everybody sees the light. Everybody. It's for everybody. If you are even outside the tabernacle, the light will shine on you. But when you get into the holy place, the light there is man-made light. You must light it. It must continually be burning. Same thing with the altar outside that they burn sacrifices. It's the firewood. It's burning. Everybody can burn that. But there is one inside this thing. There are three pieces of things there that we share today. That fire there is the one that is being powered. The seventh golden lampstand is being powered by oil. That fire must not go on, and it's man-made. When you enter the holies of holies, that is the most holy place, the light there is the Shekinah glory. It's the light of God's of revelation, the Rema of God, the Illuma of God, that actually comes to you. And is that realm, is that place we are supposed to be, that constantly we are getting revelation. The Bible says, my people perish not for the knowledge you know. That's not what the scripture actually says. For prophetic, because they perish because of lack of prophetic revelations. Revelations that the Father gives per season, and what you need in your life. And so, as long as you go in naturally, you put you are progressing. You put the natural things, burnable material on the altar. It keeps on burning. You progress into the holy place. In that holy place, now you now bring your light. You now begin. That's when you now begin to do your own worship. It's not general now. It's your own worship. You are now bringing it. If you don't feel like it, you need to do it. And we'll look at it, because we must understand that constantly, he said, the fire will keep on burning, and it's the priest's responsibility. And so I want to talk today about sustaining spiritual intelligence. Sustaining it. We need to not only walk in spiritual intelligence, we need to sustain it every day of the day, every day of our life, every day. And you need to start practicing it. Don't practice it only when you are in church. You know, I feel some people believe that this is my spiritual life, this is my school life, this is my work life. No. You are a whole being. You don't have compartmentalized life. I like some things, and sometimes I share that God is number one, family first. But I tell you the truth. If God is truly number one, you will know the priorities all the time. If God is truly number one. I put that word, truly number one. You will know the priorities all the time. Because there are some times in your life that the harvest will be so much that you will work for 18 hours. And there are some times in your life, the harvest is not much, you will rest for 18 hours and you don't feel qualms. But in this level of sustaining the spiritual intelligence, it's not. He has already invited you into that place. Your own is that you are a living sacrifice. The problem with living sacrifice is that most time we can crawl away. If I put snail in this place without covering it in one place, I put it overnight. Sometimes we may even be finding some would have entered inside the speakers. You don't even know how they entered. But slowly but surely, they are moving. Slowly but surely, they are moving. And that's how it is. If we are dead sacrifices now, if you put a dead animal here, it comes. But we are the living sacrifice. That's why you will not have the sacrifice of worship. Because in real worship, you are the sacrifice. And we need to get to that level where we are now living sacrifice. Always on the altar. We have nowhere to go to, David said. And I'm going to use the character of David, because David is the prototype of the New Testament believer. Because everything, we must understand what stopped at the cross. We must understand what went through the cross. And we must understand what the cross changed. What stopped at the cross was animal and bloody sacrifice. What went through the cross from the old to the new is Davidic worship and praise. And what the cross changed was not a day of rest, but becomes a lifestyle of rest. Because that was the original intention of God. That we don't have a day of rest. It was an educational thing for us to have a day of rest. The day that man saw, the first day that man saw, man was created on the sixth day. The first day that man saw was the seventh day. And if you look at your the account of the creation, 7 day had no evening and morning. We were born into perpetual rest. Rest is not sleeping. Rest is the peace of God. Biblical rest is the peace of God. You can sleep and wake up tired. And so we must now understand, how do we sustain this flow? We'll sustain this flow. We need to constantly sustain this flow. That every day I will stay in my place. I will not change. Things may not change on the outside. Because most times people think that things should change on the outside first. No, it changes on the inside. For God to make you successful outwardly, in this season, some of you may be in the season where he's making you successful on the inside. And nobody's seeing anything. So one, all of a sudden, one day, they will just look at you. Pastor Charles, why are you so intelligent? No, it's not. It's that convergence level where your giftings and everything come together. And there's that flow. And that time, nobody, people will be wondering what they are. The best thing we can say in Africa is that they use something. It's using something. If it's not using something, is this not clear eye? It's using something. And that's the way we explain things. And they will not understand your season of crushing, your time of waiting, your time of patience, the time you trained, sometimes that you cried even, and nobody was there. And what you are trying to do, God was trying to build into you the character trait, the stamina, the hearing ears, so that constantly when you get to that place where you are now exposed, what will happen is that your foundation is so solid that when there is the weight of that limelight, the weight of things on you, there's no crack in your foundation. It is solid. And that's why I tell people, don't be in a hurry. There's one prayer I pray, Lord, don't expose me prematurely. Don't expose me prematurely. There are some platforms you will enter now, you will lose your faith. Because you don't have the depth to handle it. They will tell you to use something, you will use it. Clearly. Because why? You don't want to lose that thing. And that's why God said, when you get to the promised land, do remember that it's the Lord that God that gives you the power to make wet. So that you don't get to a level and start thinking that I must do something to get it. Everything you have around is by the grace of God. Not by your intellect, not by anything. And I need to be in that realm constantly, seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, so that I will get downloads on a continuous basis. And the downloads is all about, Lord, what are you hearing? What are you saying? In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 11 and 12 that we read just now, it says, you shall hear in your ear. Here is the way, walk therein. That's a constant place where we say, Lord, what are you doing constantly? The first thing I want to share, which is the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. For you to constantly be in that realm, there must be, it's called the sacrifice. That means that for you to sacrifice hard, it's not sweet. Sacrifice is not, it's not convenient. It's not convenient. People want to do convenient things. I see many believers, and I'll be wondering, even juju people don't serve their juju like you are serving God. One day somebody said, upon her they serve God. And I said, okay, I agree with all the things you are going now. Let's break it down. How you think they serve God? Define it. You come to church once a week. 2 hours on Sunday. Is that serving God? No, I want to ask you people now. How do you serve God? You that's looking at me now. What is your service for God? A man was, his son was sick in India. This is a missionary was saying the story. His son, one of the child was sick. I don't know whether his son or daughter now, I can't remember, but I know this thing. Was sick and was about to die. They say this thing. And he tried everything. So he was carrying the two children, the sick one and the healthy one. He was going to his own shrine where they serve. And the missionary said, no, you cannot do that. He said, no, I want to go and offer this child up to the The missionary tried to convince him. He did not agree. So he said, at least he will give the one that is sick to the God. As he was coming, he saw him with the sick child coming back. He said, ah, who did you sacrifice? He said, I sacrificed the healthy one. He said, because I cannot give to my God a sick child. That sacrifice. My question, how do you serve God? Worship. Anybody can open his mouth. Lord, I thank you. Because some of you have gone to God, say, God, I'll serve you. Question, let's put it together. How? Have you done 365 days all night? Have you slept in the cemetery? People sleep in the cemetery 1 week. In the other side. Sleep with mad woman. For this thing. Enter coffin. If I say come to church, we have coffin now. Let's do coffin service. Let us of us enter and begin to talk to God so that we can resurrect with him. Will you come? Sorry. You know, in this our culture, we use bad thing to explain good thing. But Lord, deliver me. You know, but the truth of the matter is that sometimes I ask, how am I serving him? When rain falls, you don't come. They say fast, they say pastor, can't we break at 11? Come on. But 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7 to 8. This was when David came to Ziklag. He came to Ziklag with all his men. Ziklag was burned down. His own city was burned down. His two wives taken away. The wives and the children and everything taken away. And the Bible said that the men turned. His own men turned us. Turned. And they cried and cried and cried. They didn't have power to cry again. Then the idea they got was to stone David. They just had a fantastic idea. Stone David. Maybe when we finish stoning David, our children will appear. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of nothing, there are many of you in that place right now, in the midst of confusion, you have done everything. You are confused and everything. There is nothing gone. He said, please bring the ephod here to me. The ephod means the presence of God. The presence of God. This is sacrifice we are talking about. Somebody had a business failure, made losses of 3 million, or about 300 and something million. And Papa Chidume was praying and say, tell him to give a tithe of the loss. Just imagine Pastor Peter loses money. And he said, pray for me, Pastor. And I said, I called him the next day. I said, I heard God telling me that how much the tithe of the loss paid. Give it. Scripture. And Pastor Peter is a Bible student. He will open Bible and say, Pastor, please share me. You know, Apostle Juman was really arguing with God. And say, no, I can't. You have to tell him. And before he was arguing where the two of them came. It's spiritual intelligence. It's not in the book. You don't see it in this thing. I was meditating on Psalm 1, on Proverbs chapter 1 today. You know what he said? He said, wisdom is not taught in the school of higher learning. It shouts on the street, but people cannot see it. Wisdom is divine reasoning. Two of them came and said, we just heard God now that God told us to give a tithe of what we lost. He said, yes, praise the Lord. I heard it too. It's not some people lose 200,000 to praise God. Say, bo, 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 bo. Bo. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. Without fail, recover all. When you pursue the presence of God, you get answers. Answers are waiting in the presence of God. Answers are not waiting in the presence of your problem. The lady said, I went home and I prayed to God. What is it? Got an idea. Call everybody you paid. That one is not in higher school of higher learning. It's not in your bank policy manual. It's spiritual intelligence. May you walk in that. Amen. God is not your problem. God is not your problem. Many of us are keeping malice with God. Why? Disappointment. Disappointment will not make you give a sacrifice of praise. Be careful of disappointment. Disappointment is the mother of depression. You are disappointed with God. Have a theology in your life. And what is the theology? God is good. The way we accuse God, if you do that to your children, they will arrest you for child abuse. He says, it's God that put sickness on me. It's God that break my teeth. It's God that kill my business. It's God that this thing. Imagine you removing the eye of your children, giving them cancer, giving them sickness. And Jesus said, you being evil, know how to give good gift to your children. In Mark 6, 40 to 42. So they sat in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he thanked God for the food. He divided the bread and gave it to his followers for them to give to the people. Then he divided the 2 fish among them all. All the people ate and were satisfied. What did Jesus do? He thanked God for the food. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5,000 hungry men. He thanked God. You're looking for 2,000 and God gives you, and God sent somebody to give 5 naira. I've seen people look at their salary and say, which kind of useless salary be this? Say, God, 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 change my story. But you have put a curse on the money. He says, I'm overworked and underpaid. Okay, go to a place where you are underworked and overpaid. There is no salary that will be enough for you in life. There's what is called the Parkinson's law. Your expense will catch up with your revenue, with your income. There is none. It is called salary, salarium, short money. That's why God does not pay salary, he pays wages. Wages are variable. Go and ask accountant. So all you need to do, praise him. Give him praise. Give him praise. Randy Clark said, if you pray for me, and if I'm sick and you come to pray for me, don't ever say, God, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. God is not on trial here. We are on trial. Don't say, God, look at what he has done for you. Look at what he has done for you. Look at what he has done for you. No, 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 no. Don't say that. Just tell him, because he's a good God, he wants to heal everybody. And this thing stops us from sacrificing, giving a sacrifice of praise. Why? Disappointment. Disappointment. We are disappointed because we asked God for something. He did not do it according to how we feel he should do it. But he did it, we did not know. It is not money you look for. You are looking for that the problem will be solved. Full stop. He didn't give you money, but he gave you an idea. He didn't give you money, he brought a friend that you have quarreled with. Go and reconcile, because that... You see, politicians are my sometimes advisor in relationship. They are fighting now. Before you know, tomorrow they are now friends. Ah, my brother, what's happening? I thought he insulted your father. He said, no, 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 no. It's permanent interest. The interest we have here is God. That's our interest here. What is the law saying? It's our permanent interest. Sacrifice of praise. That means that in the midst of your crying, pray, praise. David, everybody rejected him. At this point in time, David had nobody to help him anymore. Nobody. 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 His parents have rejected everybody. This was the back door to the throne. What will you do when people you have helped turn their back against you? I've seen people turn back, their back against God because they lost 10,000 naira. So until God answer me. Until God, how many of you are keeping malice with God? Every day. You see? You didn't make yourself. Whether you like charge from now till tomorrow. He has his timetable. He's interested in making you more like Jesus than answering your prayer. Will he answer your prayer? Yes. You have said the prayer. Leave it. Don't carry it again. The place you can put your problem is at his feet. Anywhere you take the problem to, it will stress you out. And so every day, David will say, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, wherein my help cometh. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. This was David that had, knew he was the king, but pursued for more than 13 years. Can you stand? God has given you promise. 13 years, 12 years, you are still running. How many of us can hold promises for 20 years? In this age of instant, Ozigbo, Ozigbo, anointing, wait and take. Instant. God can do something instantly, but it can take years to act instantly. If Anna has given birth, she wouldn't have given birth to Samuel. There is something about waiting when the answers are delayed. And there's something that comes with preserving prayer. Persevering prayer comes not only with answers but with character. You now have the depth and the balance to hold the breakthrough. Imagine if God gave you a husband 2 years ago, what would have happened to you and the husband? You know yourself. I'm not bothered about delays, but I know they are not deniers. All I need to do, he created me, I didn't create myself. So he has good plans for me. If the plans are not working, it's still part of his plan. Am I making sense? It's still part of the plans. It's still part of the plans. Because sometimes we go and get different theologies. If God is on your side, why are you delayed? If God is on your side, I know why you are delayed. Your name is Oziegbe. Your name is patience. Your name is endurance. What are you enduring? What are you doing this one? And before you know it, there's this spirit of haste that is put in your life. They have a timetable for you. At 25, you must get your 1 million. At 30, you must get 2 million. At 40, you don't settle. Listen. Cool down. Number two, the sacrifice of doing good. Don't stop doing good when people do not understand you. Don't remove your hand. Keep on doing good. Keep on doing good. Keep on being who you are. Say, I will pull this my born again garment. I will slap you. I say born again is what you wear like singlet. No. It's your new nature. You don't pull it. You are now a version that nobody has ever seen in life. People will misunderstand you for doing good. Maybe you are just doing good for the guest. Say, I be like me. No, it doesn't matter. Do what God has sent you to do. Keep on doing good. The Bible speaking about David. Look at what David did. David that was rejected even by his father. He didn't even know. We didn't even know about his mother until I read the scripture and I knew that David even knew the mother. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 22, when he was being pursued, he said, and David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when people ask us, why do you call it Adullam school? Is it a Muslim school? That's where we got it. Eh? When you come to the Adullam, you come to a cave. When his brothers and other relatives heard that he was there, they went to see him. His brothers have come again. The one that said, what are you doing here? We know you. Everyone who was in trouble or who owed money, they came. Or who was unsatisfied, gathered around David and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and spoke to the king of Moab. He said, please let my father and my mother come and stay with you until I learn what God is doing to me, is going to do for me. So he left them with the king of Moab And they stayed with him as long as David was hiding in the stronghold. They stayed with him as long as David was hiding in the stronghold. David still did good for the brothers. David still did good for the mother. The Bible says, David said, in I think Psalm 55, he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. David was a child, I believe, maybe from incest or a child of a one-man stand, and nobody wants to know. But David was being pursued by a man he did good for. A man that he will play, and the evil spirit will live his life. A man that had bipolar, tormented, and everything, David will play, and he will live. The evil spirit will leave him. Doing good for that person. The father rejected him, didn't call him for coronation, for the ordination service. One of the brothers said, what are you doing in the field? He served his father, left the sheep, took provision to his brothers. He was still serving them. Doing good for them. In running away. People that did not have. How can you go and meet somebody who is running? He said, I don't get money. Don't anybody call me. Make anybody not call me. Nobody should call me. I have lost my job. Nobody should call me. Nobody. You are trying to remove yourself from spiritual intelligence. Because you are not a storage tank. You are a pipe. You are a distribution center. The moment you say yes and amen, I'm going to take care of these people. You know what will happen? God will send the resources to you. The reason that you think that you can have a storage tank. Most people believe that when people give in church, they have money. No, they have understanding. They just say now because I get, now they give. Say if I get. Now be this smart thing. Listen, you won't give. Because you practice how you play. Many people think that because they say, fair manager, they get money now. That's why they can just go to this thing. They just give things anyhow and everything. No. We have understanding. It's understanding. You can't give into poverty. Get it right. But I tell you, you can withhold into a stronghold. When I say stronghold, a trap of poverty. You'll be there. Somebody dedicates a house, you don't have a house. Why don't you give the person a seat? Somebody is building, you go there, say, you get money, that's why they build. Before you know, you start asking the person, can you give me something? Is he building? Somebody wants to marry, say, now because you get money, they marry now. And nobody comes and say, you are getting married. Oh, you are getting married. And this is what I want to do. Lord, I tap into this grace. If it's 5,000, before you know, they start gossiping. Say, hey, why they marry? Now, because you don't get money, they marry. Did the Bible say, when you want to, he that has money, now finds a wife, and finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. Is that what scripture said? Do good. Say, do good. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. And he went about doing good. And in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. That this doing good is philanthropy. It's not the one that said doing good, it was healing the sick. No. Doing good and curing. It's not easy, it was doing miracle. No. He was doing good. When they saw Judas left the Passover place, what did they think? That he was going to give money to the poor. Because it was the custom of Jesus to take care of the poor. So when I hear people say, the church is not doing anything about the poor. The church is not doing... Who is the church? Who is the church? Who is the church? It's Pastor Kia and Reverend Ben. They are the church. When people say... Church should give us money. I'll say, who is the church? You are the church. Do I live near your house? Do I know the person that don't have school fees? You know. Why don't you do something? It's a pastor church. Social media is heavy. And the church has money. Let me tell you. Do you know why I didn't want to accept my call as a pastor? One reason. I used to market school and churches. Have you seen offering of church? Have you seen the offering of church? Where are the tellers in the house? Have you seen offering of church before? Offering of church. Have you seen them? The offering of church. You know, I won't be pastor. The most miserable offering. 10 naira, 5 naira. You will count and count. They will just say, put it aside. And money is very dirty. And you know, the lower notes are more dirty. Sorry. Are they dirty or dirtiest? It be like filling station money. Listen. You are the church. You are the one to pay like 3 people's school fees this year. You are the one. How much is people's? Some of you can go to Georgia and say, I want to take care of 10 children. How much is their China per plane? Do good. My spiritual father preached a message in this church many years ago. He said, do good. Do good. You want, as long as you are doing good, let me tell you, you'll be getting ideas at a faster rate. At a faster rate. Let me tell you, you don't even have to be Christians now to even do philanthropy. There are people who do not believe in Jesus. So you are not super spiritual when you say, I gave. You are not spiritual. It's just the normal course of what a human being should do. And you want to tap into more, you tap into this one when God begins to tell you who to do good for. You get a higher level. People just go and do good generally. We're talking about what is happening. People have this thing. Let me tell you, a pastor, my friend was telling me, he said, you know, our church, we don't even do this thing. In Atlanta, he said, we don't take much of it because I have about 10 people that give us $10 million every year. How many people budget to give church $10 million every year? He said, pastors are criminal. Somebody told me, say, pastors have jet in Nigeria. I say, just calm down. How many? He say, after I count three, say, do you know how many pastors' children are not in school now? Do you know how many? Why do you think pastors' children don't want to be pastors? It's an enjoyment day. Even Apostle Achudume's daughters say, will you marry? Say, God forbid. Are they suffering? No. Do they see their father? No. When you want to see him, there are two sets of people that they said you should take care of in the New Testament. People that do the work of God and poor people. Finish. He said, I'm not going to keep the money. You want to work in spiritual intelligence? This is what I do. Doing good is a normal occurrence. You came to this world empty, you will die empty. Forget it. A man was dying and he told his wife, say, if I want to die, all this my money, promise me that you put it and bury me with it. He say, I promise. I promise. And as they were going to bury the man, the woman brought a paper bag to drop. He said, the pastor said, no, don't do it. He said, I promised. He said, I gave him a check to cash it there. Wherever he's going, he should cash it. The only place you have privilege to do good is on this side of eternity. The only place you have the privilege of doing good in the midst of chaos is on this side of the... You know why you don't do good? Should I tell you? Sometimes it may be jealousy. Jealousy is tied to the spirit of entitlement. And sometimes you can do good because of a jealousy. Say, as they give me to unko. No, you do it with a pure heart. There's no need. Listen, in this kingdom, there's no rivalry. There's no rivalry. There's no rivalry. You don't. If you are jealous, you have an entitlement. What's jealousy? Is that what is Pastor Wendy's own should be my own? Is, you know what it's called? It's entitlement. You're entitled. The next one and the last is the sacrifice of fellowship. To fellowship with believers is a sacrifice. Do you know how many it took you sacrifice to be here this morning? The sacrifice. Took you sacrifice to be here. He said, my baby, my sweetheart, I will come and see you tomorrow. I will sweep seven oceans. I will climb mountains. Yeah, now rhyme. It's rhyme. He said, but if it rains, I will not come. Where is the river you are swimming? Where is the mountain you are climbing? Fellowship is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. Do you think it's every day I want to come to church on Sunday? Me. That's preaching to you this morning. I want to be sleeping now. Don't you like sleep when there's rain? Or you think you are the only one that like it? In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 9 to 10. So David went, he and his 600 men, who were with him, his 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Beshor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Beshor. 400 men with him. 400 men with him. The same people that wanted to stone him was the one, let us go. I don't know why we keep malice like devil. These were the same people that said they would stone him. These were the same people that said, let us pursue. There are people that will talk to against you because of ignorance. They lack understanding. If you are not careful, you will start keeping unnecessary malice. Okay, how will David pursue? That's why I say I study politicians. The same people fighting them last year, they are in the same party now. I studied them. Very fantastic. You know where I learned faith from them? The person knows. If you say, I go to tribunal. From tribunal, we enter Apicot, Supreme Court. And this thing, they are spending money. Oh. Sacrifice. I learned faith. You know that this one cannot win election. You know this one cannot win election. He cannot. He will come and stand and give his manifesto. He said, come next year when I'm the governor. They'll say, yes, sir. Most of the people follow him have no voter's card. But you see, fellowship. You see, fellowship is not something. For you to, listen, there are some things God will give to me directly. There are some things he will say, meet Pastor Peter. Why? He doesn't want me to be independent. There are many of us, we have caged ourselves by selecting our friends by ourselves. Why? Because those friends cannot challenge you. They agree with you all the time. One of the things I like, one of the things we do, yes, is life group. And let me tell you, in intense fellowship with people, there will be friction. Intense fellowship, because why? Different opinions. And the opinion, some of you even think your own is correct. Oh. Meanwhile, there's nothing Bible in your opinion. No one Bible. You got it from social media. Face me, I face you. You are facing a book that there's no book. I'm telling you, no one Bible. Sometimes when I estray people's beliefs, I'm shocked. And they are believers. And what causes friction? Those days I used to argue with my wife a lot. With scripture. I'll be quoting Bible. I would just oppose scripture. Anything that is argument, no winner. Who is the best team? Man U or Chelsea? What concern me concern you? I don't waste my energy on that. If you say it's the way, I say yes, you are correct. He said, why do you agree so quick? I agree with my wife so quick. You are correct. You're cool. Because the Bible did not say I should treat her with knowledge. Understanding. Me? I will not be in one place arguing. No! Yeah! No! Yeah! I will not be tired. I can't pray. Because argument... argument is power. And meanwhile, she has more words as she'll be throwing it. Bra, 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 bra. If my own is finished, then... Finish is finished. Because my own has finished. I want to talk in wook. She'll be doing it. Sacrifice of fellowship. Listen, you can't be an island. There are some things that my wife would tell me. It is wisdom from God. Because you know why? We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Even in development of ideas, all over, it's a combination of people coming together. It is not one person that put man in the moon in America. It's a combination of people coming together. I don't know why we don't like fellowship in Pentecostal movement and all this thing. We just want to be alone. I'm alone. I came to worship God by myself. I brought my God in my portmanteau. Anything that is my Lord and personal Savior. If you offend me here, my spiritual car is is outside. I will take my Lord and personal Savior. Do you know there is nothing in the Bible that says Lord and personal Savior? Nothing. Salvation is a family creating event. We are born again into a family. That's why a Christian without a church family is an orphan. And listen to me. In a Sunday service like this, all of us are looking at the back of our head. You are in an amphitheater. This is not fellowship. This is an igniting of fellowship. Real fellowship is that I'm looking at you. We are down. Maybe we short nika. We are engaging one another. In that process, we are going to have misunderstanding. It is called misunderstanding. When you remove I-M-I-S, it becomes understanding. It's to clarify and do it. Never you withdraw from fellowship. It's sacrificial. There are people that will get there. I leave sometimes in church after preaching like 3 times, I will still have to go for life group. Why? Because there I draw strength. And true to type, when I'm going home, I come with much energy. Why? It's iron that sharpeneth iron. There are men here, you are not in anything, you just come. I used to be like you. I go to church, and that's why sometimes I don't bother when people don't say I'm first timer. If you are like me those days, and I know some of you are here, we will catch you. We will grab you. We even create an environment for you to hide. But let me tell you the truth. This is how it goes. I need you. You need me. It was a driver in our bank then that took us to the governor of his state. As the governor saw the driver, they started calling themselves their nickname in primary school. Hey, driver! It is somebody that barbs the governor's hair. But you look at it and say, Baba. Not be person that sew a cloth. Where you are looking for, you are writing appointment letter, writing proposal. The man is calling, say, oh God, your cloth already, say, come. He's the one that will tell, stretch your hand. Or your tongue. For 20 minutes, he's babbling, he says. So for 20 minutes, he has his complete attention. How did we get the land for the church that we are building? My Baba. Rise up on your feet. I want to read some scriptures to you. Jesus, Mark 3, verse 14. It says, and he appointed 12 to continue to be with him. And he might send them to preach as apostles or special messengers. He said he appointed 12 to do what? Be with him. Acts 2:44. All the believers kept meeting together. All the believers kept meeting together. Acts 2:46. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex. And broke bread from house to house. They broke bread from house to house. A large gathering like this and a small gathering from house to house. It is biblical. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, the last scripture I want to share, say, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you, the day is approaching, when the last days is approaching fast. You know what? What is making many people's heart to faint is that there's no encouragement from others. Iron is the one that sharpens iron. Wood cannot sharpen iron. Let us continually meet together. Continually meet together. Continually. If you do these three things, you know what stops fellowship? Should I tell you what stops fellowship? Should I tell you? Unforgiveness and resentment that leads to bitterness. I have nothing to do with you in my life again. It's heaven that will settle this matter. They don't settle malice in heaven. God is not a God. So say, okay, what do you? Say, I was in that life group, they offended me. I was in that church, they offended me. I was in that church, they offended me. I was in that church, they offended me. I. So in all the churches, you are the constant. And in all the life group, you are the constant. That's why when you see a perfect church, please, I beg you, I will kneel down for you. Don't join. Don't join. He said, what a perfect church for me. Don't join. When you join, you bring your imperfection. And as long as you operate the sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of doing good, sacrifice of fellowship, I tell you, I've been in a place in a life group and we're talking, and all of a sudden, an idea hit me. A revelation hit me. A rhema hit me. Questions we ask. We're talking about it. I hear somebody bring out a revelation. They have the mind of Christ too. I learn from them. Why? And when I learn, I keep it. It's my own. It's not anybody's own anymore. Am I making sense? God has shared it to me. There are many of us going through some things now. One sharing from a young boy. One sharing from your life. You think it's not good. You say, no, I must see Reverend Ben. Then when you lay hand on me. I have no anointing for you at that time in time. It's your brother that has the anointing. It's your sister that has the anointing. And I believe everybody can walk in the anointing here. Lift up your voice and say, Father, help me. Rise up on your feet and say, Father, help me. Rise up on your feet and say, Father, help me. Rise up on your feet. Lift up your voice. Say, Father, help me. Hold your brother's hand or your sister's hand by your side and begin to pray for them. Lord, we want to walk in and sustain this intelligence. Let the fire keep on burning. We had more miracles, and we are still counting 1,000 miracles. We are still counting 1,000 miracles. And the time the women gathered to pray, their hearts were joined together, and we began to see, the mighty move of God in our midst. Come on, lift up your voice. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Help us to connect at a deeper level. Help us to abandon our own understanding and move in your understanding so that we can be sacrificial in praise. We can be sacrificial in doing good. We can be sacrificial. Come on, lift up your voice.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.